really dig into the nail bed with. Oh, you giving it to me.
I still remember the time Ethan broke my nail clipper trying to clip his hobbit toe.
Toenail. Snapped it.
I am Groot.
He broke it right in half. And all Ethan said was, whoops.
Worst I have for a podcast. I'm Ethan in Atlanta. With me from Phoenix is Aaron, and from Austin is Jeremy. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hello.
Just as we promised, coming to you every couple of months when we can to give you the latest, or less late the latest, more like what's happened in the last 2 months and what we think is going to happen. We just had to put together an emergency podcast because the WNBA draft is tonight. Aaron, you promised a draft preview. Let's hear, what do you think of the Mercury selection?
What? Did they pick already?
I don't know if they have, actually.
We did. One of Arizona's players got drafted like 17th, right?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Now I am actually looking up the WNBA draft.
How much does a WNBA player make these days?
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough to where they don't play overseas. Pulling up the draft board, see if you're a liar.
Well, and one got picked, Helena got picked 22nd by the
Connecticut Sun. Yeah.
But I think I saw something pop up that we got a player drafted the 7th on
this is
17.
The stuff that people, this is why they've been begging us to do another podcast.
This is like, remember when the Sopranos were on and then they would like release an episode every 2 years? Like, that's what we do. We leave them with a cliffhanger and then we go on strike or something.
Esmarie Martinez was picked 5th by the in the second round by the Liberty. That's it. There we go. That
one. Has Juwana Mann been drafted yet?
Not yet. I think of it as more as Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know how that show would like take 4 years off and then come back? That's more like what we are. And plus all of the taboos that we break during
the awkwardness and the disorganization. The dysfunction,
the anger over things that you should really not be that angry about, that kind of stuff. Speaking of which, are you guys angry? This is actually recent news. So let's go to the news.
Uh-oh.
Our top story, little girl likes her brain. What's your opinion?
The Arizona Coyotes are leaving to go to Utah. Does that make you guys angry? Aaron, you're closest to it. When's the last Coyote game you went to?
Oh, man. More than a decade ago. They're fun, but I have no idea.
Weren't they talking about, like, building a new facility, too?
And then,
like,
it got voted down. They decided not to fund it.
Oh, well, there you go.
What do you think? Speaking of Curb Your Enthusiasm breaking taboos, what are they going to change the mascot to when they move to Utah?
That's what I was wondering.
I wondered first. So now you have to do the joke.
Well, I mean, they didn't change it when it was the Jazz. Why would they change it?
Oh, yeah. Just leave it?
Nice.
Yeah, they're just going to leave it. Cactus. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's probably a lot of creativity.
Because, you know... Because hockey, ice hockey, fits right in Utah more than it does Arizona, right?
I mean, right? At least it snows more.
Yeah.
Snows in Arizona.
I think the leading candidates are what's that angel on the top of the Mormon churches? That little like cherub could be that.
Wait, that's the thing.
Seer stone.
Yeah, on the top of Mormon churches, there's like a little cherub.
The Joseph Smiths.
Yeah. So did you say seeing stones?
Yeah, the cedar stones.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, a lot of good
options. And is it going to be Utah, or is it going to be like Salt Lake City? Is it going to be a city? It's going to be okay.
I don't think they're
really, yeah, the Salt Lake City cedar stones. That's got a flow to it, right?
Just for short.
How about we combine our two ideas, and it's actually Joseph Smith with his face buried in a hat. Ethan doesn't know how Joseph Smith used his seer stones. He put rocks in his hat and would put his face down in it, and that's how he was able to read the secret texts. And nobody else was allowed to do that.
It needed to be in darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
magic.
Phoenix Coyotes, I always watched you when you were in the playoffs. All three times, I think. I want to say three times. Aaron, you called this podcast. This was you. I made a number of failed attempts to get us all on the same page, but you wanted to talk about the draft. We will get to that.
It is draft season, baby.
But before we get our NFL draft preview, the Cardinals have done their annual free agent linebacker signing of a person I've never heard of. This year's model, something called a Mac Wilson. I think he headlined a variety show in the 60s. Aaron, you remember the guy with the white from the Eagles?
That's a model. That's a model 18 wheeler, right? Isn't that like
Mac Wilson?
The Swift brand 18 wheelers, I think.
There goes a Mac Wilson. Aaron, do you know who this person is?
Hey, get your damn hands off my Mac Wilson.
Do you know this person?
So when this signing happened, I heard that name and I said, nice, that guy sounds like he's good. Because I had never heard of him, but that name.
I think that was the Arizona Cardinals logic of getting him was the name.
Yeah, and then I read about him. He played like 17 downs last year or something like that. I don't know. He was used in a specialty role, I think. But
I just love that we do every offseason. No big moves, just another new linebacker.
Now that it's not Keim doing that, I'm still a little excited. I liked what they ended up doing last year. It made sense. And then, you know, they're managing, you know, the budget, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Like I said, that guy White, the linebacker we got last year, he was good.
Yeah. Kaiser White. Yeah. He was really good. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what's up. They seem to be, I'm very hopeful about how they're handling the personnel side of things, which is we've never been good at that. So
they're a trendy overpick. Before we get back to the Cardinals, the Suns are days away from starting their playoff run for 2024. Essentially this team, well, let's do the bumper real quick and then we'll get into the Suns. The Suns start their playoff journey on Saturday against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're the 6 seed. The Timberwolves are the 3 seed. The Suns had a winning record against the Timberwolves this year. And Timberwolves are enormous with Rudy Gobert up front and Karl Anthony Towns just coming back from injury, and then rising star Anthony Edwards at the guard position doing a Michael Jordan impression. I watched a lot of Anthony Edwards in the FIBA World Basketball Championships. He was one of our best players, and he could not get it done on the international stage. And the fact that the Suns seem extremely comfortable with the Timberwolves and just beat the crap out of them on Sunday has a lot of people looking at that series and saying Suns have a very good chance there. And As a team, you know, we've tracked them all season long. We've just been saying, well, we'll wait for the playoffs. You know, this team's really built for the playoffs. If we can just get into the playoffs, then anything can happen. Well, the time is now to see if they can actually done it. They've won 7 of their last 10. Bradley Beal has started playing well. And Jeremy, I'll send it to you. Do you believe in this Suns team?
In the playoffs, I'm more encouraged. Especially, we're one of two of the lower seeds on the West that are favored to beat the higher seeds. Like us and Dallas are favored to win their series.
It's like almost even.
Yeah. I think I'm excited just because we have a very good team. We're playing better. It's just everyone needs to play well together at the same time for us to win. And playoffs are different. And I'm excited and nervous. I'm excited.
After we lost to the Spurs, I texted Tyler, you need to get yourself into a mental place to start fading the Suns during their entire playoff run, because I just didn't trust them at all. And they've won back a little bit of that trust because of how well Brad Beal has been playing. And the fact that these are a bunch of professionals who've been saying all along, we just need to get healthy and get into the playoffs. And the fact that the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals from the 8th seed last year. And our path is not super intimidating. So we already talked about the Timberwolves being beatable. You would get the winner of probably the Lakers and the Nuggets. Obviously, the Nuggets are better than us. So that's a little concerning. But couldn't the Lakers maybe beat the Nuggets? Maybe? I don't know. I wanted the Timberwolves or Oklahoma City in the first round. I wanted to avoid the Mavs and the Pelicans, who kind of scare me from the last few times we've seen them, and the Clippers, for that matter, who scared me last time. And particularly any teams from Texas. The Suns this year, I think, were 3-7 against teams from Texas, which is just really weird. Like a random record against the teams from Texas with 3 losses to the Spurs. So I like the path. I will see. It's going to be interesting.
I like of all the teams, I like that we're matched up with Minnesota. Even though the last two times we played them, they weren't at full strength. I know
they were on Sunday.
Oh yeah, that's right. But I did put a sizable bet on the Suns when I was in Vegas to cover 7.5 with Cat out. And they did a really good job winning me money. So that's encouraging.
Oh, it's like Tyler's here.
Yeah. Well, 7.5 without Towns.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was a good game.
Aaron, what do you think? Have you been watching them?
Yeah. No, they're garbage. This is a garbage team. we could beat the Timberwolves. Like that's the most favorable matchup we could have gotten in the playoffs, but there's no chance we win a championship. And I thought we got Kevin Durant to win a championship. Looking like a pretty bad trade, huh? Looking like a pretty bad trade.
Jeremy, I really appreciate you not saying anything so we get that clean audio for when Aaron makes another one of his amazing wrong predictions. So when we have the title, that'll be the beginning.
I said that trade was bad when it happened. And I prefer to be wrong. I'd rather you just have a podcast where you only play clips of me being wrong.
It does make me nervous. It does make me nervous, the fact that our 3 stars have to score 25 points and someone else has to score 20 for us to win a game.
Yeah.
They do seem also to have changed strategies slightly. The Suns have shot over 40 threes 9 times this season, and 3 of those times have been in the last 15 games. And so, they seem to have figured out some rotations, and they're taking
Which one of you is thumping the table?
It's me clicking the mouse on my on my computer. You like that or no?
Oh no, it's very soothing to me.
You should type something, Ethan. Type something for us.
including 53s against the Clippers. And I think this is just like the...
Get an external mouse, you monster. Good Lord.
I thought that the audio was supposed to be picked up over here. I think maybe it's not. It's not picking up over here.
It's picked up in your mouse.
Yeah, so I think that there may be a, you know, a change in terms of their strategy that may be paying off, that's going well with this, you know, this approach. And the, you know, the other thing is the fourth quarter problems that the Suns have had are not as big a problems against the Timberwolves, because they kind of fold late in games also. So, yeah. So we like them in the first round, it sounds like. All three of us like them in the first round. None of us really like them against the Nuggets. Whatever was the Lakers.
I like us against the Lakers. I think we have a better shot. I think we have a better shot.
I'm definitely better than the Nuggets. I agree.
I think you know, a multi-game series does give us a better chance to look better. But you guys have been watching this whole season, right? Like,
yeah. They're very difficult to predict.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. So.
Yeah, I've given up bidding on them. They're very difficult to predict. I thought I could fade them, and that hasn't worked either. So we'll see. I think it's going to be one of those series where you'll know early in a game if it's going to happen tonight, and whether or not you can just go to bed, you know, and turn it off.
What was that game that they played the other day where it was they scored like 4 points up until the last 2 minutes of the first quarter or something like that?
Yeah.
And those 4 points were by Eubanks?
Yeah, it was against the Pelicans.
What? So
we had to win that one to get the sixth seed, ended up losing.
How much faith do you have in Vogel making the proper adjustments in a playoff series?
I have not disliked his coaching. It's taken him a little while to find a rotation, and I think those 3-point stats show you that he's found a rotation that he likes. And we're getting good shots, and, you know, early in the season I complained that it didn't look like we were running anything. We definitely run stuff now. Like, you can see it, and you're like, oh, okay, that was a good idea. I like that. There's a lot less standing around.
I think he should go back to Impractical Jokers. He was much better on Impractical Jokers.
I do agree with you, Ethan, that we do move the ball around more. We move around. Like, there's not a lot of complacency.
Yeah.
And we did earn Grayson 3 years, $70 million. Or I guess he earned it in that style offense.
As they posted on social media today, you know, his numbers are better than Cam Johnson's right now. You know, and so, you know, I'm not saying it's the best case scenario that we could have hoped for at this point. We probably should have been a 2 or a 3 seed. And if we didn't have some dumb losses, we probably would be. But I don't think we're in any better position, because we probably still be playing the Timberwolves and then have the Nuggets on deck. So we're right in the same position we would have been if we had played better. But the difference is that all of us are cautious now.
Let's say we get out the second round.
Yeah.
Do we fire Vogel?
If we get out of the second round, we don't fire. No,
if we get eliminated in the second round.
Maybe. If we made the conference finals, it's not getting fired. All right, there's your Suns preview. Any other NBA playoff previews or predictions that you want to make? Anyone like the Bulls as the 9 seed to do some damage? That's a hot pick. Nothing like that. You don't.
Did they beat the Knicks yesterday?
I don't think so. I was watching the Suns and the Masters.
Can the Suns beat the Celtics?
No. No, they can't. Yeah, the Celtics and the Nuggets are terrifying.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about another team that can't beat teams that are better than them. Let's go to the Arizona Wildcats. Good catch by Jeremy. Two Wildcats taken in the WNBA draft. That's neat. I saw this was on our Slack. This, you know, after the tournament, the cycle of Arizona basketball: lose too early in the tourney, players transfer, learn about new players, become top five team, get a great path in the tourney, talk yourself into a Final Four, lose too early in the tourney, and repeat. That pretty well sums up what it's been like to be a Wildcat fan for the last 5 years or so. And we're at the player transfer portion of the cycle, with Ballo and Boswell both transferring out. We also lose Larson, I believe, to graduation. And so it's going to be a lot of new faces next year. This Arizona team, of course, got some help from Washington, who knocked off Washington State and allowed Arizona to win the Pac-12 conference in the regular season. They then were knocked out by Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament. Oregon went on to go to win the Pac-12 tournament. And then they got an incredibly favorable draw in the NCAA tourney, made it to the Sweet 16, and lost to Clemson, who eventually went on to the Final Four. They did, right? Yeah. To play Alabama. Is that right? No, I'm missing a step. They made it to the Elite Eight. Alabama made it to the Final Four.
Right.
That's how long ago it's been.
Yeah.
A Clemson team that was, you know, skilled and had some good players that, and then Arizona came out in that game against Clemson and had the first half nightmare that we, if you listen back to a previous podcast, we pretty much predicted in everyone. If we can just avoid Boswell being bad, if we can avoid Ballo missing free throws, if we can not have bad Caleb Williams taking too many shots, if we can avoid bad Larson not like falling down as he got towards the hoop, everything that went wrong could have gone wrong in that first half. And yet we still got the lead in the second half. Thanks a lot to Jaden Bradley, who came in off the bench to provide a spark. And the Cats finally hit a couple of threes, but then just went into enormous lulls of shooting threes against the zone instead of taking it to the hoop where they had had so much success. Tyler, I thought, had the comment of the game where he said, it's not a good sign when everyone in the stadium knows what you should do except the players, which I thought was pretty good. Another really entertaining Wildcats season that ends all too predictably. What'd you guys think of the Arizona Wildcat basketball run?
It made me so mad. With that Final Four, that should have been that was a cakewalk for us to make it to the final.
Last 2 years.
Yeah, the last 2 years. It's so disappointing. Lloyd has to be on the hot seat now, right? It's either make it to the Elite Eight.
He's lost like five games ever.
Yeah, but in the tournament.
He's never like lost back-to-back games.
Such, like, oh, like, it's, it was just, it was very painful to watch. That game, that loss was incredibly painful.
You know, they showed some signs of their bad habits against Dayton in the game beforehand, and not a very good Dayton team that they let stick around way too long. And that one was, you know, a very stressful game that shouldn't have been. So that gave you a little bit of the like, hey, watch out, this is tough. And when people were coming up to me before, you know, the week before the Sweet 16, saying, how are you feeling about it? And I said, not great. I watched that Clemson team beat North Carolina, and they're pretty talented. And I think that they can they can negate our advantage inside with Ballo, and that's exactly what happened. I didn't think we would do all of the bad things that we do at the same time. That was unique, but we did fight back and get the lead, and that is the one thing you can say about Tommy, is that he makes adjustments and then, you know, it puts you in a position to win. Caleb Love just ended up not being that dude. That guy. Yeah. You know, Charles Barkley is saying before the game, Caleb Love has to have a good game if Arizona's going to win. And everyone knows that. It was the scouting report from everybody. And he wilted. like he did in the championship game for North Carolina 2 years ago. He just wilts, you know, and so he's just not that guy. He was fun to watch, and he made us think that he could be that guy, but he was not.
Sad.
Aaron, who's disappointed you that much in the past? What's been the biggest disappointment you've run into in these last 2 months other than Caleb Love, where you thought you had trust, but no, actually it's not? Have you ever changed a diaper this past 2 months and, you know, thought you weren't going to get peed in the face and then it happened?
I have only gotten peed on once. It was Liam very early on. So no, the trust is still there. With him,
you always wear the welding shield when you do it.
I mean, I got like full Gallagher gear on. I'm like front row at a Gallagher concert.
You also exchange them on a mallet, which a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah,
balanced mallet.
Yeah, exactly. The slicker is definitely helpful. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I honestly, it's tough in college basketball these days, I guess, right? It's like how much of the last couple of years, the disappointment in the tournament do you blame on like the transfer portal and whatnot? And I feel like we just haven't had a team that's like played long enough together. We've had pieces for sure, but I feel like the teams that are really successful the last couple of years are the teams that have been, you know, together longer. I don't know. So I'm not really that disappointed, I guess.
I think we've been doing this podcast long enough for you to know that Arizona sports has no, they can find a way to disappoint you and lose in any fashion. When back when it was the 80s and 90s and you had a whole team together for multiple seasons, you had the Cats losing in the Final Four in 1980. Yeah. Back when it was, you know, the 90s and you had a team that was stuck together for a really long time, they would lose to Santa Clara. You know, like a team full of NBA MVPs, they get knocked out in, you know, the second round or whatever. So,
yeah,
they'll always do it.
It's like what you pointed out earlier, Ethan, how, you know, we had maybe three or four weaknesses and all of them happened in that one game, you know, like Balo got worked inside, Love didn't show up. It was.
It's to the point where you end up doing the Ron Burgundy. I'm not mad. I'm just impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're just hoping that, okay, this isn't working out. We'll go to plan B or we'll go to plan C. But all of our options were not available. Like it just,
they took the lead, you know. Like
yeah. But that just goes to like we are still a good team. But it's just
Plan B worked, and then they forgot Plan B and started shooting. You know, shooting from distance, which got them in the trouble in the first place. So, if any of those go in, we win. But they were not going to go in. Oh, well, we'll have to learn a whole new roster next year and fall in love all over again. And then we'll get top five and we'll get excited. And hopefully,
we got any guys coming back for sure?
I have not, to be perfectly honest, I have not looked and see what the turnover of the roster looks like right now. I was getting a little nervous by the things I was seeing about the Washington staff, our former Jed Fish staff, still reaching out to our players. So I was kind of keeping an eye on the football team because they.
I am excited to learn about new countries in the iHoop segment.
That's, if nothing else, that's what we get, some international ball. All right.
Jaden Bradley, KJ Lewis, Conrad Martinez.
Well, Lewis was thinking about maybe going to the draft.
Okay, Crevis Visar.
And then we got we have like two phenomenal recruits coming in, and then whatever we get in the transfer portal.
Seniors who can return, Pele and Caleb Love. They're probably not going to though, right?
Pele would come back. That would be hilarious.
Balo entered the transfer portal.
Yeah, I said that earlier.
I didn't hear that.
And yeah. Boswell.
Yeah, and Boswell committed to Illinois. Wow.
Yeah.
Sad. And
stop sitting on your mallet and listen.
I guess.
I need you to do some stretching and some vocal exercises because you're up.
Sound oh, God.
On a Cardinals. He's actually stretching right now. Rubbing his own hair is how he stretches.
I'm sleepy.
There's no way we're picking Kyler
Murray. Oh, we need that. We need that. There's no way the Suns are winning the championship.
I like how I can't hear any of the other bumpers. Except for that one part I can hear.
It's very clear.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great if the Suns made it to the finals to play the Bucks again, and the Bucks go up like 3-2, and then we just beat them because they have Doc Rivers as their coach.
And then we get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All I know is that we're taking Marvin Harrison, right? That's all I want.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that that's
no,
that's the most obvious pick. But what if they get a trade package? You know,
we don't need a trade package. We already have Mac Wilson.
We do have Mac Wilson. God, he sounds like he's so good.
Yeah, but I've heard Marvin Harrison Jr. is a real Mac Wilson. And you give him an inexpensive contract. I think this is, don't overthink it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely likely to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if we trade back. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody offers a lot.
I mean, go get a rolled up newspaper and smack Aaron.
I'm not saying I want to do it. Like, I don't want the Suns to lose. You know, I don't want to be proven right that we should have never traded for Durant. Like, you know, but
you get that newspaper, by the way.
What's a newspaper?
What year is it?
Just start hitting me with your phone. Who else are we getting?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if we don't trade, obviously. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the pick, right? I think we go interior offensive lineman for our second first round pick. That's the number 27 overall. I would love for Jackson Powers Johnson to fall to us then.
That's the bestest name. That is the best name.
What color do you think he is?
I think purple, right? He's a little purple headed.
Yeah, I think you can pick the color and there's multiple settings.
He's green and black. He was an Oregon Duck. He's supposed to come. He's people are saying that he's a center. He could play guard, but they're saying that as soon as he comes into the league, he's a top five center in the entire league. They're saying he's that good. What was that?
And we could get him in the second round.
First round, you know, with our second pick, that we got Houston's pick at number 27 overall.
I think it's amusing that you think I know what picks we have.
Well, that's why I'm here to tell you, buddy.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, we could go cornerback.
You know, now that you say that about that guy, I think I remember they did a feature on College Game Day about him and Bo Nix.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very good. I think we could go cornerback, though, depending on what interior offensive linemen are there. Because outside of the top couple interior guys, it's a pretty deep draft for offensive line in general. I'd like us to go defensive tackle if one of the top two guys are there, but that's not likely to happen. It's not a deep defensive tackle class. It's unfortunately for us, we need help on the edge, and it's a very shallow edge class as well. So we might take a flyer on some guys.
Redick back.
It would have been cool, yeah, but yeah, we couldn't pull that off, I guess. It would have been cool. Yeah, he went to the Jets, right?
Yeah,
that was a bummer. But yeah, so I'm like, I would love for us to take Jerry Rice's kid in, like, with just our
I'll take Legacy, just the Nepo baby wide receiver core.
Yeah, I like that kid a lot. Yeah, he's no Jerry Rice, but he certainly is Jerry Rice's son.
And if they're not able to play, you just do that commercial where all the NFL legends try and play again and they're all sore and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be incredible. I would look for him in like the fourth round. I would look to add him in like the fourth round, maybe the third, depending on who's there. But I think this is a blast every year.
The Harrison is bigger than the Lilliputian wide receiver core that we've had the last couple of years, right?
Oh, huge. Like, you mean like physically bigger?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looks really thin, but the dude's like 6'4". I want to say he's like 205 or something like that. He might be 190. I don't know.
And Jerry Rice, he's tall too.
He's also tall, but he's thicker. Not super thick. He's not bold and thick.
Feel like it's hard enough for Kyler to see over the line, let alone have to find like a, you know, an Ewok running route.
Yeah, no, totally. It's I think if we get a couple of tall wide receivers, I like Xavier Leggett a ton. I think he's out of South Carolina.
Yeah.
He'd be a fun guy to grab.
Harrison Jr. 6'4", 205 listed.
Yeah, that's skinny.
Yeah. But he is very good. So that would be fun. That would be fun to grab him.
And that's Thursday?
And that's not this Thursday, I don't think. I think it's next Thursday, actually. I was thinking it was this Thursday, but
yeah, Brendan Rice is 6'3", 209.
Okay. A little bit thicker.
Were you able to go through the list and find any other candidates?
Yeah, absolutely. I got a whole rundown of
and fantastic names, like the standout just names in general.
Is that what you want, Jeremy? Is that what you're here for?
That's
you want some names.
That's the only reason why I still do this podcast.
just for once a year for me to
be on.
Say racist things. I'm gonna try to keep the racism at a minimum. Hopefully none. I do have at least one thing that might get a little bit edgy. Anyway, all right, so I got some awards to give out. You guys ready? We're doing it award show style this year.
I love it.
So to kick off the award show, we have a legacy award here.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to rock the party with a unique style he describes as techno banjo gator lullabies fueled by meth and domestic abuse. It's DJ Dallas's illiterate cousin from Florida, bow, 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 PJ Tampa.
That's a player named after a football formation. So you know he's good.
Yeah. I have no idea what he plays or where he's from, but you know, probably somewhere in Florida.
You know that DJ Tampa has a son that shares his name? DJ Tampa too.
Nice. And no, he's illiterate, so he's not DJ Tampa, he's TJ Tampa. Yeah. He didn't know. He doesn't know how to read or spell. All right, cool. You guys ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right, so
from Iowa State.
He's from Iowa State. All right, cool. He
the playbook he studies is just a speak and spell. That's what it is.
The cow says. Most likely to automatically qualify for corn subsidies at birth. Enos Rakestraw Jr. There's an Enos. We got an Enos Rakestraw Jr.
Yeah, here it is. Rake straw.
Yeah. Rake straw. Enos. All right, move on.
What position does he play?
I don't know.
He plays. Wait a minute. All I'm seeing is combine time. He plays corner.
He's a cornerback. Yeah, I think he's a cornerback. We might draft him. He's actually supposed to be pretty decent, I think. He had an advertise. What do they call that deal for the kids?
NIL.
An advertising deal. NIL deal with John Deere Tractors.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of white guy stuff, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Now we're gonna play a game. This is not an award.
Okay.
The game is called Guess the White. Okay. I'm gonna give you five names. I'm gonna give you five names, and you guys have to guess the white. Okay. You ready? We got. You ready? Mason Smith. Mason Smith. We got Max Melton. We got Steel Chambers. We got Jaden Jahnke. And we got Bo Brady.
Steel Chambers has to be drafted by Pittsburgh, right? Like that speaks.
Or Pornhub.
I'm going to go with Max. I feel like I recognize that name.
Wait,
Max Melton is the white. Ethan thinks Max Melton is the white.
What was the last one? Bo something.
Bo Brady.
Wait, isn't he the quarterback from UCF? He's not a white guy.
And what was the one before Bo?
Jaden Jahnke.
I'm gonna go Jaden Jahnke.
Jeremy. Jeremy knows his whites. Jaden Jahnke is the white. Everybody else is not white.
That was the.
I don't know what race they are, but
that was the laundry segment. Separate
no,
your white.
No, because I don't know if you guys seen this, but there was a trending AI figure creation of like a yearbook of the 2000s, and it had all these white AI generated pictures of students and their names, and there was a bunch of like Bradens and Jadens. And that's one of the reasons why I picked Jaden.
The Bradens were white and the Jadens.
Yeah.
No, wait, the other way.
They were all white. They were all white.
Oh, nice. All right, cool.
You know, Diane laughing at all the names on the leaderboard at the Masters. Your Brysons, your Collins.
Yeah. Just a bunch of old money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So since we did a segment on the whites, now it's time for who has the coolest name. Mm-hmm. We're gonna call this one "Who has the coolest name." All right.
Yeah.
We got Quantez Stiggers. We got Ladietrick Griffin, and we got Feldarius Payne.
None of these are from Key and Peele.
No, they sound like they could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the last?
I'm just scared.
Feldarius Payne.
I'm scared to say the first one out loud.
I was sweating a little bit.
Yeah. Say the first one again.
Quantez Stiggers.
I'm going to go with the last one. That's the funniest one.
Feldarius Payne. You like that one?
Yeah, and think of all.
Yeah, no, the last one's great, but they're not going to call him by his first name. Is the thing, he's going to be known by his last name.
And he just walks up to you and puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "Feel the pain." What? I would be doing that stuff all the time.
What's number two? What's number two's name?
Ladietrick Griffin.
Oh, that's a great first name too. But I'm going with number one.
Quantez Stiggers. I think they're all winners. They all have very, very cool names.
They're all great.
I like them. That's one of those things where as a white man.
There's no, Quantez, I've never really heard that name.
Stoffel. It's good thinking.
I'm a sucker for names that start with the letter Q.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
You just go by Q. Wait,
it's Q, right? Not K.
It's Q, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where do you think the apostrophe is?
Right after the Q.
That's a good guess. That's a good guess. It's not right after the Q. Jeremy?
Is it in his first name?
It is in his first name, yeah.
It's after the U.
No, no. It's after the N.
Quan.
Yeah. Quan.
Oh, okay.
Tez.
Quan. He was named after Jerry Maguire.
Yes. So good. Yeah. Some very good names. I left some very cool names out of that list. That was a tough list to get down to three. But we'll revisit that a little bit later. Next award, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Player that I'm most tired of hearing about, but solely because it reminds me too much of my wife's nickname for me. You guys know this one already. Michael Penix Jr. You guys could have guessed.
He'd be fun to watch this year.
He was
really great.
I think he could be all right in the NFL. He, you know, we'll see.
What team suits him?
Reminds me of Philip Rivers.
Reminds you of Philip Rivers?
Yeah, the arm angle looks like
Rivers. Oh, yeah, it's very quick and janky.
Yeah. I think he could go in the second round. As early as the second round, I wouldn't be surprised. I think the Giants, they're picking at six. I don't think that they can, I don't think they're going to spend that high of a pick on him. So I think they could take him in like the second. I wouldn't say the Steelers, I don't think the Steelers are going to take anybody.
Who's Carolina's QB?
Oh, the little guy, the number one overall pick from last year that they totally whiffed on.
Yeah.
Poor kid. I forget his name, but he was from Alabama.
Jalen Hurts.
Not Jalen Hurts. He's much smaller than Jalen Hurts.
The one from Alabama. That's small.
Yeah.
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. Yeah.
Bryce Young.
That's it. All right. Moving on. Winner of the Han Schott First Award. Ladd McConkey. That one's specifically for my tussies out there.
Perfect. No notes.
All right. The Why Can't White Guys Have Cool Nicknames crew. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry. Chop Robinson. And honorable mention to Storm Duck. Whose actual name is Storm Duck. That's not a nickname. Wait, I couldn't not include
that's amazing. Storm Duck is like the creative character I would have made when I was like 10.
Yeah.
Or 40. Like, I'm sure I would name him Storm Duck too. Chop, he's a defensive player, right? That nickname Chop with Robinson, a name like Chop?
Yeah. He's a pen defensive end edge guy. We might pick him with the 27th pick. I don't know. Maybe if he's there, he's like a, like an athletic freak type of guy. Doesn't have a ton of technique to him. Might be a fun one to pick.
What's Storm Duck? Like a safety?
Storm Duck, I think, is a cornerback, I think.
Okay. He's Scrooge McDuck's long-lost cousin.
Yeah.
And the third name, what name is he?
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Oh, what position is he? He's got to be like a
He's guard. A corner. He's a corner, oh, he's a corner from Alabama, yeah. He'd be a cool pick at number 27 as well. Yeah, both Kool-Aid and Chop are probably first-round guys.
Think of the cost of having to replace all the walls in the practice facility, though.
Yeah, that'd be tough. God damn it, Kool-Aid, can you learn how to fucking use a door? So going back, I told you we'd revisit this, the coolest name category. These guys, I couldn't add them to that because they have really badass nicknames, but their first names are really awesome as well. Kool-Aid's first name is JaQuincy. JaQuincy McKinstry. What the fuck?
What? It's a Doxy McKinstry name.
it's fantastic. And then Chop's first name is Demiaun. D-E-M-E-I-O-U-N.
So Demiaun, he's got a cool first name and a cool nickname.
Both of them, yeah. Yeah. You don't, I mean, why can't white guys have cool nicknames, let alone cool names? I have to walk around like, hi, I'm Aaron. Hi, I'm Aaron.
Did you have a nickname when you played football?
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't a fucking cool one. It was Uncle Buck. Who wants to be called fucking Uncle Buck? You know, I'm a big fat guy. Ha, ha, ha. Give me a big fat guy nickname. Like, thanks a lot. Fucking
you're saying God you would have preferred Kool-Aid.
I mean, yes. You see me wearing this red shirt, right? I'd be a great Kool-Aid. God damn. Fucking Uncle Buck. Give me a break. Anyway. Better than Penix Jr. All right, you guys ready? Next one?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
Winner of the That Sounds Like It Could Be Code That Catholic Priests Use When Talking About Which Altar Boys They Find Particularly Attractive Award. Christian Mahogany.
it's worth it if you don't pod for 2 months if you come back with material like this.
Wait,
oh man,
what position is that player?
Oh no, don't ask.
I mean, they're Catholic, so obviously missionary. Anyways, all right. Next award. we're almost there. We're almost there, guys. Winner of the I'm actually a character in a hard fantasy novel award. This is not just because of the name, but because of the appearance of the man. Amarius Mahogany. Mims.
Wait,
no. What? Amarius Mims.
Amarius
the dude Mims. Is a literal mountain, but he has the nickname or a name that sounds like a fairy godmother.
That sounds like a spell from Harry Potter. Like that name. Amarius Mims?
Yep. Amarius Mims.
He gets to roll the 20-sided die for his dexterity roll.
So yeah. It. Yeah. The dude is... Wait till you see that guy. He's massive. All right. This is where we get racist a little bit. Okay. We got a two-way tie for names that are most fun when saying them like you're a feudal era Japanese samurai. You guys ready? We have this one. All right. So for this one, a little bit of a side note here. Not only is it a feudal era Japanese samurai, but he's one of the feudal era Japanese samurai that gets pulled into the future in Ninja Turtles 3.
Yeah.
Shout
out to those guys for just rolling with it.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a lot of fun. And all right, he's just started to learn about American cinema. Roger Stone.
Okay. I mean, that was a very long walk.
That was yeah, pretty bad.
Let me put my Hokas on before we go for a walk that long.
This next one is visiting a red light district for the first time. Feudal era Japanese samurai visiting a red light district for the first time. Oh, Ruke Ohorohoro. Ruke Ohorohoro. No? Should I have led with this one?
They're no Christian Mahogany.
No.
it's the setup and then just the delivery of it and the sheer disappointment of it.
We'll have to go back and watch the tapes on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so let's finish off with some butt stuff. Are you guys ready?
That's what Michael Penix Jr. is known for.
we got a few names for this one. All right, we got Chigozie Anusium. We got Anum Dankwa. And man, I really wish I could swap these last two guys' names around. We got Anus Smith and Delmar Glaze. You draft both those guys.
Yeah.
Same team, say, draft both those guys.
We should draft.
Oh, you could they could set something up like the two NBA guys.
Yeah.
With a great jersey.
Did they get like NIL deals with Tushy or a different bodega? It's just.
Do you have anus glaze? Spray that motherfucker off.
Aaron, another year, another triumph. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, try and follow that with your last call.
You go first. I can't think of one.
Mine is X-Men 97 on Disney Plus. The three of us all grew up with the animated X-Men cartoon, which we all loved, I imagine. Because there was no comic book stuff when we were kids, you know what I mean? There were no comic book shows. And so it was not only a comic book show, but it was our favorite comic book heroes in a show. Watching those original X-Men, the animated series episodes now, it's not very good. Not like the Batman, the animated series, which is really still very good. This X-Men 97 kind of elevates, it pays homage to those original shows in that it still kind of feels melodramatic and Technicolor, but the stories are incredible. The voice acting is really excellent. And if you know the comics, especially the way that they're weaving together, like, you know, years of comics into a coherent storyline that makes it so that the comics still make sense, but actually it fits better for the show, is maybe the most impressive part. They clearly have people working on the show that really know the comics. It's been awesome.
Aren't they considering...
My kids love it.
Aren't they considering doing that with the Spider-Man animated series too, because of the success of the X-Men?
Which is also not as good as you remember, but was great at the time.
Yeah. I still have not sat down and watched X-Men 97 yet.
The last two episodes... No. Not the last two, the fifth and the third episodes. The third episode in a general is especially good in that it takes about a year and a half worth of comics in some of the craziest storylines and makes them all work while also giving you the key moments from that year and a half.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'm at the third episode. I think I've only watched the first two so far, but it's been very good.
Very good show. All right, Jeremy, what you got?
Aaron, what do you have?
This last weekend was the first time where Athen and I could get out, and we took like a little overnight trip, sort of. We went and got a hotel room for the weekend. The in-laws came over and stayed at our place and took care of the babies, and it was nice. It was pretty nice. I didn't miss the kids as much as I thought I was going to. I did miss them, but it was cool.
How did Michael Penix Jr. how was he on the draft board?
He headed into the weekend a little beat up. I got my vasectomy two Fridays ago. So still trying to hold things together down there. But yeah, he didn't
take it one day at a time.
Yeah. That's all you can do. We got a great medical staff here. You know, he's staying on his regimen. He's in the gym every day. You know, he's doing everything we can ask of him. So, yeah, we're hopeful that he, you know, stays on the timeline.
When Becky and I take trips, we always marvel at, like, hey, we're fun.
Yeah.
This is cool.
You remember real life? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we did a bunch of stuff that we haven't been able to do for a while. Things that we did together fairly often before the kids.
Have one complete thought uninterrupted.
Yeah, exactly.
Toilet without an audience.
Yeah. I mean, Afton does like to watch. It's really weird. One of the things that we did, we went to a place called Thai Foot Massage. Afton's best friend is Vietnamese, and so Afton got to experience a lot of, like, Asian culture type things, you know, in her high school and mostly college years, and for a few years after, before we got together. And one of the things that she liked to do was go to what we call Asian lady massage. And we were talking about, like, we were looking at the website. It was a place that we had gone a few times in years past, so we were familiar, but I had never really looked at the options. Like, we had always just, like, walked in and said, you know, this is how many minutes we want, and then they would take us back. And it's a nice little area. Like, they have it, you know, it's a big area that's only cordoned off. It's separated by, like, big heavy curtains and whatnot. Very dark, you know, they got their special little table in there. It's just two tables, so, you know, it's basically a couples massage type of thing. But I'm looking at the options as we're, you know, getting ready for the day. And this was, we went on Saturday morning. You know, one of the options was Thai foot massage, and the other one was, like, deep tissue and yada yada. They have a few different options. And I'm like, what is Thai foot massage? Is that one of the things where they climb up and they walk on you and stuff like that? And she's like, no, they don't walk on you or anything like that. You might see where this is going now. I don't know. But if you can guess. Anyway, we get into our room and we're, like, getting situated. You leave your clothes on. They want you to wear comfy, loose clothes. I got basketball shorts. I got a T-shirt. You know, it's pretty comfortable or whatever. And then you lay down. You start face up. And I see the person come in because I had asked the lady at the front desk, said, how strong do you want it? And I said, I like it very strong. Like, I want some, if somebody's giving me a massage, especially if I haven't had one in a while, I want it, like, super deep, very, you know, like, try to hurt me, you know, like, there's, you know, get into that shit. You know what I mean? But I had been to this place a bunch before, and I've always had a little Asian lady. But this time, of course, an Asian man walks in. He had to have been, like, in his 50s or something like that. But, you know, and I'm not fazed by it. I'm not bothered by it or anything like that. But when the massage starts, it's there are, like, little things that I'm, like, noticing, his rough lavender oiled hands, you know, on my brow, like, rubbing my forehead and things like it sort of put me in a silly mood, I guess. Like, I am smiling a little bit, and I'm trying to be all serious and focus on your breathing and whatnot. But, like, his rough hands rubbing my face was a little, you know, little unexpected, you know, but they smelled nice. So that was nice. He did this thing where he was rubbing all around, and he, like, was rubbing in my ears, and then he puts his fingers in my ears and starts pulling up on my head, which was cool. But again, like, I didn't expect that shit. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, that had never happened to me before, but this guy's, like, he's going all out, which is great. You know, and I'm a big guy, right? So he's like, I felt bad, you know, as I'm laying there and he's really working hard to, like, move my big body around and stuff like that, lifting my arms and legs and trying to reposition me and everything. You know, so, like, all these things, I did a pretty good job for the most part, you know, keeping my composure, you know, really you know, I was proud of myself focusing on breathing and it helped me relax. And he was like fucking me up. Like he was like really going hard, which was great. It was an excellent massage. It was like, it was wonderful. Then he tells me to turn around and like flip over. And so I flip over, on my stomach and I'm laying there and, you know, he's starting giving me a normal massage and everything like that. And he's rubbing my back, yada, yada. It's feeling nice. Like, and then he climbs on top of me and, it's strange because he starts up at my head and he's facing like my feet and he's like climbing up over my head. And he's got his knees in my shoulder areas and his hands at my waist. And I feel him like he's like moving around, like trying to, you know, get into my muscle tissue and whatnot, I guess. But like, I am, you know, I'm a big broad man, I guess. But I'm like 300 plus, like I got some fat on me. Right. So, you know, I'm not the most easy guy to balance on, I think. So I feel him start to sort of like, you know, he's sliding around a little bit more than I think, you know, I expected him to. And I can't get this thought in my head that this little Asian man is like on all fours, riding my back, like a novice surfer, you know, battling unsteadily on his hands and knees, trying to stay aboard his fat board, you know, while this wave that's too powerful for him is overtaking him. And I'm fucking start laughing and I can't stop laughing. And I keep trying to think, stop laughing, don't laugh. And I keep trying to bring my focus back to my breath. You know, that's what you need to do. Just, you know, just focus on just your breathing. But I was on an edible and I was fucked. So I was fucked from the beginning and I just couldn't stop laughing. So now he's already having a hard time keeping his balance. But now I'm jiggling even more as I'm laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I'm jiggling and he's trying to stay on top of me. And I eventually, I look up and I turn and as I'm in mid laugh, I'm saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to apologize to him. He gets off. He says something to the little Asian lady that's working on Afton. And I just lay my head back down and I like slowly, you know, start to breathe and he comes back up to me and then the motherfucker has the audacity to start stroking me like an upset horse. He's with both hands rubbing my back and just trying to, he's like horse whispering me. Like he's like whispering, shh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You know, as he's rubbing up and down my back and I just keep laughing. It didn't work. It didn't work. And I just kept laughing. And like, and I think he thought I was crying because by the end of it, like he just gave up at that point and he would just like, he still was stroking like a horse for like a good 5 minutes or whatever, but he ended up, you know, giving up. And then he handed me a Kleenex as though I think he thought I was crying. I don't know, but I felt so bad for him because he did such a good job. And Jeremy, so I am glad that you showed up here because as a Vietnamese man, I need to know your perspective. You know, did I bring shame upon this man? Did, like, I'm laughing and he thinks I'm laughing at him, or that he, like, what's going through this man's mind, I guess?
I don't know. He was probably just, he probably thought this was your first time, right? And he was just bummed out that he couldn't help you completely relax and work on your Christian mahogany.
I think he just wishes he had more wax for his board.
Oh, we gotta need more wax.
Wait, okay. So, like, after he hands you the Kleenex, and you like get up and get dressed, did you have to wait for Afton's massage to?
No, finish? No. They both, you know, wrapped up okay. At the same time.
And yeah, did you greet him like afterwards when you were leaving?
I thanked him on my way out. And then the lady that checked us in was, I think she was there running the show in general. So, she asked how it was and I made, you know, I made a comment. I was like, you know, I was testing his balance. I was like, oh, I was really good, you know, but I feel bad because I was testing his balance, trying to make sort of, you know, trying to make light of it, I guess, you know. But and then he came out and he said something to her and she said something back, you know, and they're speaking in Asian.
Here's the thing. Does it merit a repeat visit?
I don't think I can go back. I don't think I can go back there. I would love to, but I, you know.
Because in all honestly, they would love to have you back.
I mean, I tipped really well. I mean, we got like the basically one of the more expensive packages. I tipped really well. And
we started the podcast comparing us to Curb Your Enthusiasm, and then you gave us a Curb Your Enthusiasm sketch.
it was fantastic. I loved it. It was I felt great. I felt great. I Ath and I went and laughed our asses off because she didn't know what was going on. She's in that little cordoned off area with me. She could tell something was up. She heard me laughing. You know, she was like, what the fuck is going on?
And was there no music, like atmospheric music playing? It was just silence.
I can't remember. The only thing I remember is jiggling, a lot of jiggling.
I think you need to draw this. It'll help you.
Yeah.
Work through it.
Yeah. Make it an exercise.
Maybe.
Jeremy, go ahead.
I'm not following that. I don't have anything. Except for this one time when I was massaging this guy and he was really big and I couldn't keep my balance.
Yeah, that doesn't seem relevant.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, fellas. See you in a couple months.
Yes, please.
If you'd like to connect with us, please email at arizonasportdesper@gmail.com. Tweet at @AZSportDesper. Visit our Facebook or Instagram pages. If there are any sponsors listening, be happy to hawk your wares. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. Why don't you say goodnight, gentlemen?
Put the address of the massage place like in the description of this episode of the podcast.
At least you can do.
Yeah.
A season for the record books, a season for Arizona football history, a victory of the Sun Devils in Pac-12 South Championship, and it's on to the title game.
So that is a Thai foot massage.